तेजोमयीम स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरसङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीमदसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। After explaining the various vignas that a person encounters in the spiritual path while doing samadhi, while practicing samadhi, a person will go through various hurdles or obstacles. After explaining those obstacles, those vignas, and saying that यद् विघ्न बाहुल्यं त्याज्यं ब्रह्म विदाशनेहि, पर्सन हु सीक्स रियलाइजेशन ऑफ ब्रह्मन शुड रेनाउंस ऑल दो स्लोली। आफ्टर दैट शंकरा इज ट्राइंग टू एम्फसाइज द नेसेसिटी एम्फसाइज द नीड और द नेसेसिटी फॉर रियलाइजेशन। Though he has already explained it previously as it is ignorance, it is lack of knowledge, and it is foolishness to consider oneself as the Deha. Thereby, a person has to know his real nature of Brahman, so, or Atman. He has already explained that, but still, Shankara is once again, after explaining about Samadhi and the way to realize the Atman, Gaina Paroksha Anubhavam Shankara, the next few shlokas is praising Atmajnanam and decrying the lack of Atmajnanam or a person who doesn't have Atmajnanam. So in the 129th shloka, Shankara says as to what will happen when the mind undergoes various modifications. The mind can take the form of any object. So the mind, the thoughts in the mind can be any thought. It can be good thoughts, bad thoughts, it can be thoughts about a person, a thing, and it can be about nothing as well. So that's what Shankara says. The thought in the mind, that is the reason why a person has to do Nididhyasanam and the Panchadasha Angam, whatever Shankara has explained. A person has to continuously do any of those or all of those, because then the mind will have Brahma Vritti. Then the mind will always have thought about Brahman. And a person who is always contemplating on Brahman will get rid of the duality or Ajnanam. He will get rid of Ajnanam. Once he gets rid of Ajnanam, then he will realize his nature of Brahman. Thereby he will become perfect in all aspects. So that's what Shankara says. It is important as to what are the thoughts in the mind, what form does the mind take. So that's what he says in the 129th shloka. Bhava vritya hi bhavatvam, shunya vritya hi shunyata, brahma vritya hi purnatvam, tatha purnatvam abhyaset. So purnatvam, how does person gain purnatvam? So the mind can either take the form of objects, or it can be blank without any thought, or it can have the thought of Brahman. So bhava vritya, the mind which has bhava vritti, mind which has bhavam. Bhavam means notions about objects. That means concentrating on nama rupam, or concentrating on the world and considering it to be real, is bhava vritti. Having the notion that the world is real, having notion about objects, about nama rupam rather than Brahman, that is bhava vritti. Bhava vritya hi bhavatvam. So if the mind considers the world to be real, then the world will be perceived. That means the dual world will be perceived. So what is the fault in perceiving the dual world? Anityam asukam lokam. So when a person perceives lokam, The fault is that locum in itself is sorrowful. So that means when a person concentrates on the locum, or concentrates, his focus is on the locum, then he will gain the sorrow as well. He'll have to experience the sorrow coming out of the world as well. That means a person who concentrates on Jagat and Jagat Satyam, he will have to face sorrow or Dukkham. Dukkham or Bhayam, those are different synonyms, like from different perspectives. Dukkham or Ajnanam or Bhayam, all those are different words which denote nothing but a state of imperfection, a state of feeling that I am not perfect, I am not complete, I am not satisfied. So satisfaction, peace, perfection, happiness, everything is missing in that state. So that's what happens when the mind concentrates on the world. Mind concentrates or focuses itself on Namarupam, which means the moment you concentrate on the Namarupam, there is Dvaitam. Out of those Dvaitam, you have Bhedam. So out of the Dvaitam, the Bhedam that arises out of Dvaitam, there will be Ragadvesham, meaning getting attached and averted to certain objects. This Ragadvesham will in turn lead to Sukadukkam. Thereby it will lead a person into a state of imperfection, into a state of sorrow. So he will be suffering like anything. So that is what happens when the mind goes through Bhava Vritti. Okay, the mind is not concentrating on Jagat Satyam, but what if the mind is blank? So there is a age old saying, Ya Matihi Sa Gatihi. Whatever is the Mati, whatever is in the mind, or whatever does a person think, he becomes that. So that means ultimately we are Brahman, whether we accept it or not, whether we know it or not, but what we think, we become that. The more and more we think about it, the more and more we become. So if we think about Shunya Vritti, so Bhava Vritti is bad because it will give us sorrow. So what about having nothing in the mind? You can never be without any thought in the mind. If you are without any thought in the mind, Shunya Vrittya hi Shunyata, it will lead to Shunyata, a state of Shunyam. You will be as if blank. So what is the point of being blank? If you are blank, that means you don't have any experience. That means you are neither happy nor sad. So that is the state what is mentioned as Shunyam. So Shunyam is not a state where you don't have anything at all and you are blissful. That's never possible. Bliss is only when you know that I exist as perfect, I exist as complete, I exist as something which is infinite. But the moment you speak about Shunyam, it is kind of non-existence. Such a non-existence cannot lead us to bliss. So Shunyam cannot lead us to bliss. It is only a temporary state where you think that you are neither existing nor non-existing, or it's a state of non-existence. Like it's a state where you are devoid of thoughts. So that's the reason why there are many people who do a lot of meditation and like go into the state of Shunyam, which is similar to Nirvikalpa Samadhi. They go into the state of Shunyam, yet they aren't realized, they are not complete. Why? Because they cannot be in that Shunya state forever. Because as long as the mind is there, as long as the world is there, the mind is there, you have to act. If you have to act, then starting from the mind below to the sense organs, you have to act. And if you have maintaining Shunya Vritti in the mind, then you'll not be able to act. If you are not able to act, then you'll not have anything to eat. If you don't have anything to eat and you cannot sustain, then again, you can say Shunyam, but slowly that will lead you to more and more sorrow. Moreover, the Shunya Vritti is only in the mind. You don't become Shunyam. So that's a big concept that Vedanta says. If we say that, okay, person who follows Shunyam becomes Shunyam, that is wrong, because it is only the mind and the thought in the mind that becomes Shunyam. But you are always there to experience that Shunyam. But that experience of the Shunyam will not make you realize your own nature of Brahman. Therefore, that means you are experiencing Shunyam, but you don't know you are infinite. As long as you don't know you are infinite, you will not get bliss. Therefore, you will still be in the same suffering. So that's the reason why Shunyavadam is not right. Shunyavadam is, first of all, Shunyavadam is faulty because it is the mind that becomes Shunyam, not the person, because the person has to experience Shunyam. So there should be a person who experiences Shunyam. And so that is required. That is compulsorily required. And if that is not there, then a person himself becomes Shunyam. So he cannot say that I experience Shunyam or I will experience Shunyam. If I follow Buddhism, I'll experience Shunyam. If a person says that is invalid, because if I have to become Shunyam, I have to experience Shunyam. The minute I experience Shunyam, Shunyam becomes invalid because there is somebody to experience. Oh, if that is the case, then what about Brahman? Like, if I experience Brahman, there will still be duality. There will not be any duality because when I experience Brahman, I am Brahman. Oh, if you say that, like, I experience Brahman is valid because I am Brahman, then why isn't I experience Shunyam and I am Shunyam not valid? Because there can never be a state where we experience ourselves as Shunyam. So the moment we speak about Shunyam, our existence has to be there to apprehend Shunyam. Since we apprehend Shunyam, we cannot be Shunyam. So we cannot be Shunyam. We cannot be the dual world because we are unlimited Atman, which Shankara has already explained. So Bhava Vritti and Shunya Vritti will not lead us to Ananda. Then what would lead us to Anandam? Brahma Vrittyahi Purnatvam. Brahma Vritti, that is what Shankara explained in the previous shloka about Samadhi, maintaining the Vritti of Brahman, that will lead to Purnatvam. So how does just concentrating or contemplating on Brahman, having the thought of Brahman, lead me to Purnam? Because the more and more you concentrate on Brahman, you will become Brahman. If that is the case, then more and more I concentrate on Shunyam, I will become Shunyam. Then I am Shunyam, so Shunyavadam is valid. Such a statement is wrong because the more and more a person concentrates on something, he will think he has become that. He will never become that. There is no becoming. We cannot become something that we already are not. So Vedanta says that we are already Brahman, Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swabhava Brahman. I am Brahman. I have forgotten that. That means the more and more I concentrate on it, I will become Brahman. I will become Brahman. The word itself is wrong. Brahmavid Brahmaiva Bhavati. The statement is only from an Ajnani's perspective, where he seems to be different from Brahman and he becomes Brahman. In fact, there is no becoming. The becoming has to be properly interpreted as from the perspective of an Ajnani. In reality, we just realize our nature of Brahman. So Brahma Vritti leads us to Brahman because we are already Brahman. So the more and more we concentrate on Brahman, we'll become Purnam. How would we become Purnam? Because Brahman is unlimited. Brahman is infinite. And Brahman is the only entity present. Therefore, it is Purnam. Therefore, we'll be led to Purnam or perfect or complete state. What is completeness or perfection? Perfection is that state where we don't need anything else. We don't feel the necessity for anything else. We feel that we are complete, we are blissful, we are satisfied, we are content. And lack of sorrow as well. We don't feel that, okay, I feel something is lacking. If that feeling is not at all there, along with like sense of happiness, sense of bliss, sense of contentment, this moment, if Yama comes in front of me and tells, okay, you have to come with me now, you have to leave everything and come with me, if we are able to face it happily, smilingly, if we are able to do, then that means we have reached the state of Purnam. So these are the different possibilities or the different possibilities of a person becoming something, or the goal of a person depending on his mind or the vritti, modifications of his mind. Bhava Vrittyahi Bhavatvam. If he concentrates on the world, he will get sorrow of the world. He will be deluded. Deluded means he will be suffering in samsaram. Sorry. If he concentrates on Shunya Vritti, then he will feel as if he is shunyam. So shunyam is a state of non-existence, so it is not a state of perfection. Perfection is when you know you exist and you still feel complete. So it is not a perfect state. It is also an imperfect state. Might temporarily relieve us from things of the world, but still it is not permanent. It is not complete because it's not our nature. Brahma vrityahi purnatvam. But when we concentrate on Brahman, when we have the thought of Brahman always, that means Brahma satyam jagan mitya jivo brahmaiva naparaha. Thought of Brahman or Brahma vritti means not just thinking about Brahman, just going on contemplating, I am Brahman, I am Brahman, I am Brahman. That's not what is meant here. If that is the case, then many people who learn the scriptures and say that they are realized, they know the scriptures, yet they fall down. They fall a prey to various things of the world, like falling into marriage, falling into love affairs, falling into worldly pleasures, falling into the clasp of their parents, and like not able to decide what to do. Like my roommate, I have to look after my roommate, I have to look after my husband, I have to do this, I have to do that. If somebody says, along with saying that I am Brahman, then that's not really what they are doing, because they are only mechanically doing it. Brahma vritti, the moment we speak about Brahma vritti, that means we need to know what is Brahman. What is Brahman? Brahma satyam jagan mithya. Brahman is the substratum of the illusory world. It is the adhishtanam for the mithya jagat. Not only that it is adhishtanam of mithya jagat, it is my own nature. Jivo brahmeva naparaha. It is my own nature. So all that are inbuilt, or like, well, all that, or we should say, it is implicit in Brahman. It's not explicit in Brahman. When we say Brahma vritti, that means implicitly it means Brahma satyam jagan mithya jivo brahmeva naparaha. That much we know about Brahman. Clearly we know. And we follow the thought of Brahman. Such a person who has that and follows the thought of Brahman will not fall a prey to anything in the world. Even if it means like fighting against one's own parents or fighting against one's partner or friends, he will not do that. Because the moment you give importance to people in the world, you give overemphasis on people, that means I have to do this for them, or your actions, your spiritual activities, your progress is stopped or hindered by other people, that very moment a person has forgotten it. So a person might claim that, okay, you know, Upanishad speaks about various paths, like I can still be realized by having attachments, by having desires and all, a person might say, but that's not true. He can never do that, because the moment you give emphasis to people, you are attached. And if you are attached, then you don't have real devotion towards Brahman. You don't know Brahman. You don't even have paroksha jnanam to convert it to aparoksham. So it's very important when we say Brahma vritti is not just I am Brahman, I am Brahman, I am Brahman. It is knowledge about the illusory nature of the world and contemplation of Brahman as one's own nature. If this is there, a person who really follows this, he will not be affected by things in the world, because he knows that those are illusion. So the moment somebody gets affected by it, that means they are falling off from samadhi. Samadhi means you are trying to not at all be affected. Whatever be the state, whatever be the situation, whatever be the condition, I will not be affected. So whether if there is a tsunami in India, if there is a tornado in Florida, if like there is heavy rain outside my house, if the house that I am staying in, the apartment, the roof from above falls down, there is an earthquake, lot of people die, I also have injuries. Even during all those times, if a person remembers Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, he is able to be unaffected, unattached. That means he is really doing samadhi. And such a person who does such a samadhi, who always maintains it, such a person alone will be able to gain aparokshanubhavam, because real samadhi alone will give aparokshanubhavam. Mere mental thought of I am Brahman and still concentrating on the world is bhava vritti. That means there is bhava vritti, there is no brahma vritti there, because you don't know what is Brahman. And bhava vritti will only give bhavatvam. it will also give sorrows of the world. That's why many people we know who think they are realized, who think they know the scriptures, they are following scriptures, they are in the spiritual path, they are nowhere near even following the spiritual path, because they give more emphasis to worldly things. The moment a person gives over emphasis to objects of the world or people of the world, saying, okay, my father and mother are Brahman, I should follow them and all. The moment anybody supports one's own kith and kin, whether it's like one's parents or one's partner or one's brothers or sisters or relatives or friends, saying, okay, they are more important, what they say is true, what scripture says is wrong, what you say is wrong, what Amma says is wrong, what Shankara says is wrong. Okay, I can accept Amma because Amma says we should love everybody. Therefore, I love my parents. Therefore, I will do what they say. Such is Kutarkam and Vitandavadam. It's not true. Because Amma never says a person to love their parents. She says, tells to love everybody in the world, not just our parents. The moment we say, I love my parents, that means there is no love there. It is attachment. It's not pure love. It is attachment there. And that attachment will only lead us to trouble. And if that attachment is there, there is only Bhava Vritti, there is no Brahma Vritti. And if you don't have Brahma Vritti, you are not following Samadhi. If you are not following Samadhi, then you are not doing Nididhyasana. If you are not doing Nididhyasana, then you are not in the spiritual path. Because a person who does Shravana Manana Nididhyasana alone is in the spiritual path, because he alone will be able to realize the goal. Oh, if that is the case, then what about Bhakti? I am devoted to Krishna. I love Krishna. I greet people with Hare Krishna. I have Krishna's photo. I sing Krishna's bhajan. Won't I realize? No, you will not. The moment a person concentrates on a particular form and he is concentrating on the particular form instead of Brahman, there itself it goes. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't worship Krishna. It only means that if you know that Krishna is an illusion and Brahman alone is real, then it's fine. But if you don't know that, then even such devotion is not real devotion, because real devotion is when you have Atma Nivedanam, when you merge into the God, into that particular Lord, into Krishna. How can you merge into Krishna? You'll merge into Krishna when you know Krishna's real nature. What is Krishna's real nature? Nirguna Parabrahman. That means there is knowledge there. But if you don't know that particular Lord or Ishvara to be all-pervasive, to be the ultimate reality of Brahman, if you don't know, then you are concentrating on any form. So it is as good as loving a particular actor or actress. It's as good as loving or like having a crush on Angelina Jolie or Aishwarya Rai. Like, it's as good as worshipping them, because you'll still fall down. So the story of Bharata, the great king Bharata or Jada Bharata, is very popular or very famous in Bhagavatam. So a lot of people speak about that story, but many of the pravachakas or people who give discourses on Bhagavatam, they don't explain the story in depth. They give emphasis to Rasa Leela, they give emphasis to Krishna Avataram and all, but they never emphasize Jada Bharata's story, because if they emphasize Jada Bharata's story, knowledge aspect will come out. And the fact or the truth will also come out, that a person who concentrates on a particular form will fall down. Bharata worshipped the form of Vishnu. He worshipped that form beyond everything. But he didn't know the form to be Brahman. So since he didn't know the form to be Brahman, he went to the forest, did a lot of meditation. He was doing a lot of meditation. But he had attachment to a particular form, and he didn't know that the form is not real. Therefore, when he got another form, a small deer, who while he was doing, the story goes that while he was doing his morning prayers in the river, he saw a small deer in the water. So he took the deer and started nursing it. So when he did that, since he had attachment to a particular form, the form of Vishnu, that the form changed. So his attachment was still there, the form changed. Instead of the form of Vishnu, it was converted or transformed to the form of deer. Therefore, Instead of doing meditation, he started concentrating on the deer. And as the story goes, at the end of his life, instead of concentrating on Vishnu, he looked at the deer. Therefore, he was born a deer. But still, his sadhana or the meditation and other things which he did didn't go in vain. Therefore, even while he was a deer, he remembered it, and then he remembered his fault. He knew he recognized and regretted his mistake. Therefore, he became aware of the truth that any form is an illusion, even the form of Vishnu. Thereby, he got a newer birth, higher birth, which is Jadabharata. He was called Jadabharata because he never entered into any actions, because he thought like previous time, I shouldn't get attached or affected by things. Therefore, he remained as if he was like an insentient rock. He will just go on eating whatever people do, tell he will do, and then he will not respond at all. He will not even see. That's what the story goes, that he will always have his eyes lower. He will not listen to anyone or look at anyone as well. So this story is not popularized much because it speaks about the fault or the problem or the trouble that a person will be led into if he worships a particular form god. But if a person worships a form god without knowing that the form god is present everywhere and it is ultimately the formless god, that is not real devotion. So that is Gauni Bhakti, as Narada says. Such a Gauni Bhakti might not lead to the truth unless we expand the form. We see the form in each and every object, in which case the form ultimately vanishes. Because if you see one form everywhere, then there is no limitation, there is nothing here but that form. If there is nothing but the form, then it cannot be called a form because it is not limited, it pervades everything. The moment it pervades everything, then there is nothing at all, only but only the particular, or not even the form. The form merges into the ultimate reality. And so that is real merging. If we have to merge into Krishna, we need to know what Krishna is. We may think Krishna as the form, and when our life, we have to end our life, we will think about Krishna and leave our leave this particular body. But we won't realize, we won't gain moksha by that. Why? We will go to Krishna's loka. We will go to Vaikuntha and we will stay there for some time. That's what would happen. So that is also called, there are different types of mukti, but Vedanta speaks about Sayujyam, or merging onto God. If we have to merge onto a particular God, then that form has to become formless, because you will make that form or see that form everywhere. The form will become all pervasive and it will vanish into the particular, or vanish into ultimate, or formless, or Nirguna Brahman. And that is real bhakti, or real devotion, or para bhakti, when the devotee merges into Nirguna Parabrahman. Therefore, devotion and knowledge are not two different things. We need to have both. In devotion, you just see a form everywhere, expand the form and make it Nirguna Parabrahman. So there also, if we aren't aware, if we don't know that the form is unreal, it stands for Nirguna Parabrahman, then it will not lead to moksha. That means in bhakti, knowledge is important. And in knowledge, we need bhakti. Bhakti towards what? We need bhakti towards Brahman. We need pure devotion, pure love, pure attachment towards Brahman. Because only if we have attachment towards Brahman, we'll be doing samadhi, we'll be remembering Brahman. Only then we'll attain purnatva. So bhakti and devotion are not two different things, or two different paths. Some people might say different paths and all. The path bhakti or the apara bhakti is just a path. It is just a means to the ultimate goal of Brahman. The final step that a person does is either merging into Ishvara or knowing that I am that Ishvara. In both ways, it is knowing. Knowledge is essential, because when we say a person merges into Ishvara, he merges with the knowledge that Ishvara alone is present here. So that means there is knowledge there. So it is that knowledge which makes him merge into Ishvara. So knowledge is the ultimate or the final step Whether you term it as knowledge or parabhakti, it doesn't matter. But it is not the path of bhakti. So what people generally call bhakti is not parabhakti, because they don't know about the Ishvara. They don't merge into that Ishvara. So if they don't merge into Ishvara and they don't know who that Ishvara is, it's not parabhakti. It is just aparabhakti, or the means. Even as per Narada, also the aparabhakti, also you need to know the form. But he will still maintain difference. But most of the people who term bhakti, or whatever they speak about as bhakti, is nothing but just mere attachment. So instead of getting attached or thinking about one's own husband or wife, he thinks about a particular form. That's the only difference. So there is no real devotion there. So if there is real devotion, then that will lead to knowledge, or the final step of knowledge. So that is the reason why scriptures as well as Shankara say that the final step or realization happens only through knowledge. Whether that knowledge is by knowing that I am Brahman, or by knowing or merging into Brahman with the knowledge that I am Brahman, it doesn't matter. It is finally knowledge. And if that is not enough, Krishna himself says in the 7th chapter of Gita about 4 types of devotees, and one of that is jnani. Tesham jnani nitya yukta eka bhaktir visheshyate priyohi jnani no atyartam aham sacha mama priyah. Jnani is very dear to me, and I am also dear to him. He is the greatest of all bhaktas, because he has only oneness in him. He sees only one everywhere. So the devotion where we see oneness everywhere, we merge one the form everywhere, or parabhakti where we merge into that form, is termed by Krishna as jnani. And as if that was not enough, bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha. After many births, a jnani worships me. How does he worship me? Vasudeva sarvam. Everything is vasudeva iti. And such a type of Mahatma, Saham Mahatma, Sudurlabha, he is very rare indeed. So there Krishna speaks about the Jnani Bhakta as one who sees oneness everywhere. So we may term seeing oneness everywhere, seeing a form everywhere as Bhakti, Parabhakti, or seeing one form everywhere and thereby merging into the form as Parabhakti, and Jnanam as seeing Brahman everywhere and knowing I am Brahman. Both are the same as per Krishna. And it's just we use different terms of jnanam and parabhakti. Both are same. But people who claim themselves to be bhaktas, to be devotees, oh, I don't need to learn Vedantam, because I prefer bhakti. I go to the temple daily. I chant the Lalita Sahasranama. I chant Vishnu Sahasranama. I sing 2 bhajans. That is enough for me. People who say that, they are the mudas. There is no greater foolish people than them, because they themselves are in ajnanam, and they think that God will help them. So God will never help them, because they don't know. Unless they know who that God is, the moment they know who that God is, they enter into jnanam, and that they can know only from Vedantam or any bhakti literature. So bhakti literature as well as Vedantam are indifferent, but Vedantam is the source. So of all everything, whether it is bhakti or jnanam or any other path. So the path of bhakti and the path of jnanam might differ in some way, but ultimately both are the same. The final step that a person takes is jnanam, which can be termed as parabhakti, but both are same. And that can be achieved, as Shankara says, that can be achieved using brahmavritti, and that would be lead to Purnatvam. Tata Purnatvam Abhyase. Therefore, a person has to always practice Purnatvam. What is Purnatvam? Having Brahmavritti. So, how will a person become poor, or how can he practice Purnatvam? The moment we know Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Jivo Brahma Ivanaparaha, and concentrate on the mind, or have Brahmavritti, then itself we won't feel the need for anything in the world, because that itself is enough. I know the world is an illusion, then what would I need from the world? Whatever I get is fine. Whatever I do is fine. Whatever is happening is fine. The rest, let it happen. So that will automatically lead to Purnatvam. And such a Purnatvam in which a person is always satisfied, content a person has to always abhyase, always practice. So a sadhaka who is really following samadhi, at least 90% he is following samadhi means, or 90% of samadhi he is following means, he will feel purnatvam. Any moment a person feels that he is not purnam, he forgets things, he necessarily forgets, like, or in particular he forgets Vedantam, he doesn't even know how to practice samadhi, he forgets that, then that means such a person is not following. And if he is not following samadhi, if he doesn't have purnatvam, he is not following samadhi. If he is not following samadhi, he will not gain aparoksha anubhavam, and then there is no point in brooding or crying later that, okay, am I progressing or will I really progress, will I realize when we die, and all those things are futile, because unless purnatvam is there, there is no sadhana being done, and unless sadhana is being done, there will be no aparoksha anubhavam. Unless aparoksha anubhavam is not there, a person will be paddha purusha, he will always be in bondage. We'll continue with the next day.